Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, June 29th. 65% of Colorado small business owners oppose denying services to LGBT people based on religious beliefs. Eric Galatis has this story.
Business groups are keeping a close eye on the U.S. Supreme Court after its decision to hear a case involving a Colorado baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple, citing religious objections. Tim Gaudette, with the group Small Business Majority, says most Americans oppose policies that allow businesses to use religion as a reason to discriminate.
Bringing religious views into business is not the right business practice. Not good for the state, not good for the economy, and really not good for their business.
The Supreme Court announced Monday it would hear the case Masterpiece Cake Shop Limited versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. The commission found the baker violated a state law that prohibits businesses from discriminating based on sexual orientation. The bakery's owner claims his right to freedom of expression was being violated and said in court he believes he would displease God by creating cakes for same-sex marriages. Laura Reinch with the group One Colorado agrees that freedom of religion is a fundamental American right, but she argues the First Amendment doesn't give anyone the right to impose their beliefs on others. She says businesses that are open to the public should be open to everyone on the same terms.
And that includes customers who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Nobody should be turned away from a business or denied service or fired or evicted simply because of who they are.
According to a December poll by Chesapeake Beach Consulting, 65% of Colorado small business owners oppose denying services to LGBT people due to religious beliefs. Gaudette notes over 60% of business owners surveyed believe wedding services should be provided for same-sex couples.
Businesses can and should market the way they would like. However, protecting discrimination by law is not viewed as a best practice in business. It's actually quite discouraged.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
In keeping with the Trump administration's America First Energy Plan, the Bureau of Land Management yesterday released an updated environmental assessment of a proposed oil development project 15 miles southeast of Grand Junction for public review. According to a press release from the BLM, Fram Operating LLC's Whitewater Master Development Plan, or MDP, proposes 108 new oil wells on 12 new well pads over a period of 4 years. 11 of the well pads would be on BLM-administered lands. One well pad would be on private surface drilling into federal minerals. Fram estimates the project would produce up to 8.7 million barrels of oil over 20 years. Construction and year-round production would provide about 70 jobs. The BLM completes MDPs to better analyze and mitigate potential impacts for large-scale, multi-year oil and gas development, instead of analyzing projects on a well-by-well basis. MDPs let the agency take a broader look at impacts from well pads, pipelines, and roads and streamline the process by providing a detailed analysis of the proposal on a project scale. Fram originally submitted the MDP proposal to the BLM in 2011. The updated environmental assessment includes a detailed analysis of hydraulic fracturing. The BLM asks citizens to submit comments by July 28th. Written comments and questions should be directed to the Bureau of Land Management. In a related story, the Bureau of Land Management is considering how to best manage activities on public lands in the Colorado region, including quiet or non-motorized recreation. Eric Galatis has more.
Low-impact outdoor activities, such as hiking and camping, make a big impression on Colorado's economy, according to a new report. It says in 2015, non-motorized or quiet recreation on public lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management in eastern Colorado generated more than $54 million in direct spending. Kristen Lee, a researcher with Eco Northwest, says that money ends up circulating across the state and adds more than $40 million in worker salaries, wages, and benefits.
you know, as they spend money on things like food and gas and lodging and equipment, those expenditures have ripple effects in both the local economies near BLM lands and then in the regional economies across Colorado.
The report, commissioned by the Pew Charitable Trusts, comes as the BLM is developing a draft resource management plan for the eastern Colorado region. The agency's Royal Gorge office oversees some 658,000 acres of public land. John Stukowski with Wildlands Conservation works along the Arkansas River Corridor and says he's hopeful the BLM will keep some tracts of land free from the roar of ATV and snowmobile motors. He adds so-called quiet recreation is critical to the region's businesses.
It includes mountain biking and rock climbing and boating and rafting and kayaking, which we have a lot of on the Arkansas, and it brings a lot of folks in, not only from Colorado, but from around the country into our small towns.
While people will always want more space for their favorite outdoor activities, Luis Benitez with Colorado's Outdoor Recreation Industry Office says all forms of recreation contribute to the economic well-being of a state that depends on tourism dollars.
I think the larger goal can and should be towards that spirit of how do we work together to ensure that we're all capable of recreating the way we want to recreate.
He adds, as long as outdoor enthusiasts, quiet or otherwise, remain focused on conserving publicly owned lands, there should be plenty of common ground for everyone. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Representative Millie Hamner, a Democrat from Frisco who represents parts of Delta County, will be on a committee at the legislature tasked with rethinking how the state funds education. According to a study on chalkbeat.org, Hamner will join 9 other lawmakers on the committee. The legislative group will study and make recommendations about how the state pays for public education. The committee includes former teachers and superintendents, a former State Board of Education member, and a practicing charter school lawyer. Lawmakers from both sides of the aisle agree that the state's funding system for education is outdated and in need of a massive overhaul. The state last made significant changes to the education system in 1994. The committee's first meeting is scheduled for July 24th. A multi-million-dollar initiative between the state and the University of Denver will evaluate ways that the government can be more efficient and effective. Bensa Berkland has more from the state capitol.
A lab at the university will study the state's agencies and programs. The idea has been tried in states such as California, Michigan, and Rhode Island. Governor John Hickenlooper, a Democrat, wants the lab to provide information that the state can use to improve.
I think people have to believe in government. And that's not going to happen unless we get the systems right. Hopefully they will give blunt assessments based on facts and not politics.
The 4-year project is funded by $4.5 million from the nonpartisan Barton Institute for Philanthropy and Social Enterprise. Hickenlooper says programs worth studying include workforce training, criminal justice, and the foster care system. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.